Who in their right mind is going to use a December contract to hedge anything at this point? It is ludicrous, and it tells us the market is broken, and this COMEX tail has wagged the physical dog once too many times.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Welcome to Live from the Vault. My name is Shane Moran, and I'll be your host for this episode. And as you can see, I'm out of the vault once again in Costa Rica, beautiful paradise. And from the entire Live from the Vault team worldwide, we want to thank you for your continued support. And as you can imagine, the community keeps growing more and more every single week. And there's a lot to talk about during these historic times. And Andrew Maguire is in the house with an industry legend, the one and only Bill Holter. And they'll be talking gold right here today on Live from the Vault. This is going to be an amazing episode, and you won't want to miss a word. You know, Live from the Vault gives you access to information and updates that you just can't get anywhere else. And I promise this episode is no exception. Just before we get to talking gold with Andrew Maguire and our special guest, Bill Holter, please help spread the word about this channel by hitting that like button, sharing and subscribing to this channel. And by the way, if you click on that bell, you will be notified in real time as each episode goes live. So let me introduce you to our special guest. Mr. Bill Holter is an industry legend and a financial writer and a precious metals expert, and works alongside the iconic Jim Sinclair at jsmindset.com. And for more information about Bill Holter's work, just visit jsmindset.com and check out the link in the description below. And with that, let's head over to the UK and talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire and one of our favorite guests, Mr. Bill Holter. Over to you, Andy.
Certainly is a favorite guest. And Bill, we had Bill on, I think, last May, or back 5 months ago. I think it was 4 or 5 months ago. And we've had a load of people, get Bill back. So we're very pleased to have you back. And thank you so much for sparing us the time today. I know you're also in the wholesale market. And that to me is, that's a rare thing where we don't often come across fellow wholesalers. And it's good to get your feedback from what you're seeing from your side of things. What are you seeing from your perspective, Bill?
First off, thank you for having me. The demand is definitely picking up. People, I think more and more people know something is wrong. They don't know exactly what's wrong, but they know something is wrong. And just historically, the direction of safe haven was always cash, and it still is cash. But the problem is cash today is trash. I mean, it's credit based. So I think a man's natural instinct when they understand something's wrong, they become a little bit fearful, and that is driving a move toward the precious metals.
Yeah, Bill. And it's so interesting to actually talk about what you're seeing on the wholesale market side and why. And one of the interesting things that I find is that when I speak to somebody who really has no appreciation of gold, and they've never really thought about gold. And the first thing I say to them is, you realize that the money you have in your bank account, which you do, that is an investment decision. That is a trading decision. And I don't know what it is in the US, but it's we've just had 10.1% recorded inflation. God knows what the real number is. I think it's 8 point something admitted in the US. But I mean, that's a trading decision. So every time, for every 100 grand you got in the bank, you just lost, you know, tens of thousands a year. So naturally, then you step back and you have to look at alternatives. And of course, when people start to step back and they think, oh, gold's a very volatile market. No, it's not. Because if you pull up a chart for the last 20 years, which gives you a proper, you know, a proper view of how gold performs, well, US dollar is up something like 400. The gold is in US dollar terms is up like 400 and something percent. The British pound is down by something like 24%, and you know you've got real estate up somewhere between the two. So, you know, what's your view about, you know, when you meet people, obviously your world is full of people with gold, but when you meet people, say, in the bar and stuff, who don't understand gold, what do you say to them, Bill?
Well, first, Andrew, I just want to make clear that it's not gold, it's not silver that is volatile. An ounce of gold 100 years ago is still that same ounce of gold today. What changes over time are the valuations of the currencies. And just go back to the year 2000, gold is up, what, 5 or 6 fold. So it's one of the best performing assets on the planet over the last 20 plus years. What has changed, that ounce of gold is still the same ounce of gold it was at the beginning of the century, but they have lost purchasing power. That's why the price of gold has gone higher. In dollar terms, euro terms, or what have you. As far as meeting someone who's not ever made any purchases before, I would say that a lot of people today know that something is wrong, but they can't put their finger on it. They don't know exactly what's wrong. And generally, I try to explain to people that we're living through the biggest credit bubble in all of history. And most people understand that because, for instance, if you ask somebody, is the U.S. government broke, they'll 95% or more will say, well, yeah, of course they are, but it doesn't matter. And the bottom line is it does matter. Then as the conversation goes on, then I explain or point out that gold and silver are the only two monies on the planet that have no liability. They're not issued by a government. They make no promises at all. All they are of labor, capital, and equipment has already been used to create the bar or coin or what have you. And when all is said and done, they're the only two monies on the planet that cannot default. They cannot bankrupt. And that's, I think that's the clinch right there, is if you know something's wrong and you're trying to protect yourself, you've got to do it in a situation where you can't lose what you have.
Yeah. Bill, and what an opportunity we have right now with the discount in silver and gold. And I just did a little piece just now, and I know you'll get this straight away, but it blows my mind, Bill, how some of these siloed people in the COMEX, the speculators, just are so out of touch, so blinkered to real supply demand fundamentals, and they're naked shorting silver. And I just did something today, and this morning when I woke up, the December contract. Now this means something to you, I know. The December contract, not the September contract, the December contract was trading at a 5.4 cent discount to the spot cash market. I mean, I've never in all of the history of me trading, I've never seen the December, a 3 month out contract, basically, to that kind of expires on the 30th of November. And we're coming through to the 30th of August here. And basically we see this contract now starting to be discounted to the spot market. Well, we should be seeing a 30 cent contango. We should be seeing, I mean, so really what we're seeing here is an inverse $1,750 per contract problem. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is, it's just silver market has now broken, completely broken. How can you possibly use the COMEX silver market, which is, let's face it, the whole point of a regulated futures market really is for institutionals to be able to hedge legitimately, a refiner, yourself as a wholesaler, whatever, to legitimately hedge a physical or a spot transaction. So now we see the complete inverse, and it's to me, who in their right mind is going to use a December contract to hedge anything at this point? It is ludicrous, and it tells us the market is broken, and this COMEX tail has wagged the physical dog once too many times.
That's exactly correct, Andrew. What you're seeing is backwardation. It tells me that any buyers don't want to buy out 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. They don't want to do that because maybe they're not positive that they're going to get the metal. So to see backwardation, it's like you said, the market is broken.
Yeah, completely broken. I saw some of the thing you just did on Zero Hedge, which was really nicely done, Bill. I mean, really, obviously, that was the interview that you did there with American Watchdog, and what I was taking away from that, I've sent this to a few people I know, is the markets are broken, and people don't understand how broken the markets are. Can you just expand a bit on that, Bill?
Yeah, I think the word broken works, but I think the better word is all markets. And when I say all markets, I mean all markets are rigged. I mean, just for example, look at, and you see it on a daily basis, just look at Europe, look at the German market, look at the British market. I mean, your real economies are being crushed. And, you know, winter's coming, it's only going to get worse. You're going to have people left and right without the ability to, or they have the ability to heat, but they can't afford to do it. So this, the real economies, the German manufacturing, across the board on a real economy, things are definitely shrinking. But yet, you don't see that at all in the markets. I think that's a perfect illustration that in Europe, certainly, and I mean all over the world, those markets are rigged. There's no way they should be close to all-time highs.
Yeah, and thoughts on, I mean, we have our thoughts on the US, Ukraine war, essentially, that's going on right now. And I think one of the things that strikes me and most of the people I speak to, certainly from this side of the pond, is that people are now looking at that as if, well, this is really just a proxy war at this point. It's not, we don't think for a single minute, and more people are thinking this, not think for a single minute that, or there's major questions, put it this way, that this is actually any desire to help Ukraine at all. This is this is the US military machine taking on Russia in a siloed, contained environment that puts Ukrainian people at risk, and everyone feels sorry for Canadians, for Ukrainians, of course. You feel sorry for anyone in a war. But I mean, it really is worrying, because what the in my view, or in our view, what the US has done here is put the problem on Europe. And whereas you guys are getting gas at under $4 a gallon, let me say, we're paying three to four times that. And people are now making a decision, because the sanctions have affected Europe, the UK, where people are having to make a decision, do I heat or eat? I think something's going to kick back here. And I think Europe is going to have to make a decision at some point in this winter, if they don't want to have riots on their hands, to back off some of these sanctions. Can I just get your thoughts on that, Bill?
Winter's coming soon, and those decisions are going to have to be made soon. I think it's pretty obvious, and it's not obvious to people here in the U.S. because the media is not reporting the truth on how the military exercise, operation, war, whatever you want to call it, is going. But in my opinion, what you're seeing is Ukraine has just been put up as cannon fodder. And, you know, again, yesterday, there were another $3 or $4 billion of military aid is being sent. So basically, the U.S. is sending dollars and the Ukrainians are sending men and they're getting slaughtered. It just looks to me like the United States is using Ukraine as a pawn. Now, from the other standpoint, and I have thought about this for a while now, we've heard a lot about the New World Order, and we know what the New World Order is supposed to look like, according to Klaus Schwab and George Soros and the powers that be here in the U.S. In my opinion, if you go back to the Olympics, when Putin and Xi made a joint statement, it's my belief that that was the original announcement of the New World Order. Because I think what you're seeing, or what you're going to be seeing in the future, is that the West is going to be in massive decline. And the East, if you read Putin's speech before the military operation, basically what he was saying is that we want free and fair trade. And that goes along with the Chinese, the Belt and Road Initiative. So I think what you're seeing is the New World Order, Russia, China, the East, they're going to be using currencies that are backed by oil, by wheat, by gold, by what have you. And here in the U.S. and the West as a whole, none of the currencies are backed. They're all fiat, unbacked currencies. So once this thing comes to fruition and the smoke clears, then the West is going to have a problem importing goods from the East, because I don't believe that Russia, China, that whole block, the BRICS nations, I don't believe they're going to accept giving something and receiving. So it's my opinion that the New World Order has already been announced. It's already in the progress of being put into place. And the New World Order is not anything like what Klaus Schwab used it to be.
That is very, very interesting. This is why these kind of conversations are so illuminating. Now that is contra to what most people think. But I think you're right. What is interesting is really this whole situation, these ill thought through sanctions against Russia, for example, and of course Russia and gold, Russia and China have been for years building up, solid backings for or increasing backings for their currencies. But I think it's interesting that if people are questioning the blowback of these sanctions and why they have done nothing but hurt and create this kind of situation you're talking about, is you only have to look at the proxy for this is the foreign exchange rate for the ruble against the dollar, which Biden had one point said was rubble. And now, well, we're talking about 58-1 against the dollar, when I think it spiked to 121-1. The ruble appears at this point to be the strongest, bar none, FX currency out there. Any thoughts on that, Bill?
That's exactly correct. The ruble actually dropped to 140-1, so it was worth less than 1 penny. Before the war started, it started off in the 70-72 range. Here it is now 58-59. So the ruble has appreciated versus the dollar by 20%. So the sanctions didn't work. And if you think about it, the U.S. is way over leveraged. I mean, we're 135, 140% debt to GDP. And when I was younger, the rule of thumb was if any nation got to 100% debt to GDP, that was the entry to becoming a banana republic. Now, if you look at Russia, on the other hand, I believe they are 14% debt to GDP. So they have an extremely clean balance sheet, and they've talked about backing the ruble with gold. And they're actually doing trade only in their currency or currencies of friends as opposed to foes. And they did mention, and we will accept gold for any trade transaction. So what you see is Russia making steps toward making their currency a real currency, while the U.S. is obliterating their currency by borrowing, billions of dollars every single day. I mean, what did they just announce with this so-called Inflation Reduction Act? You're borrowing, $780 billion, and that will have nothing to do with reducing inflation, because when you spend money, and that's what they're doing, is spending $780 billion, that's not going to reduce inflation. It's going to stoke inflation. So the West is basically shooting their own feet off, going further into debt, whereas Russia is strengthening and making their currency real. And that's why you're seeing the Russian ruble at this point as the strong FX currency on the planet. And I think it's only going to get stronger. And I know this is going to sound like a crazy statement, and give it time. It could happen overnight, but given time, a year, 2 years, 5 years, I could actually see the Russian ruble trading at par with the dollar.
Wow. I mean, why not?
Well, Andrew, think of it this way. With the U.S. doing what they're doing, the day is going to come where we do have, where the rigs in the market don't work any longer. And when I say the rigs, I'm talking about, propping up the stock market, propping the dollar up, propping the bond market up. I've always believed that this was going to be a credit event. And if once the credit dominoes start to fall, you literally could see the Western financial implode, close, and not be opened within, a few days to 2 weeks' time. Now, how long will it be until it can reopen? I have no idea, but that's the prospect. And if we get to that point, you're not going to see Russian banks close. You're not going to see the Russian economy shut down, because they're running on a real currency, whereas the Western currencies are going to, and I say the Western currencies, it's basically all currencies that use dollars as reserves in their central bank. Those currencies are going to implode. And it is possible that things get so bad that currencies buy nothing. Currencies go to their inherent or intrinsic value, which is zero, or the value of the paper and the ink that's on the, on the notes.
It makes sense. And I think, people will look back on these interviews, Bill, and give their head a shake as to why they weren't readying themselves for something like this. And I think you're right. I think you could ask any person that manages a home, whether it's whether it's a wife or a husband or whoever it might be that manages a home or manages the books of a household, how the hell can you be printing this much money, going into dipping into so much debt, and then raise interest rates, which is, as you say, it's like shooting yourself in the head. How is it possible? How is this thing going to play out?
I believe it's a planned demolition. I think this is the plan for, the, if you want to listen to Biden's proposal of Build Back, you know, Klaus Schwab's proposal, Build Back Better. The only way to build back is to destroy it in the first place. And that's what I think they're doing. It's a planned demolition. They are going to demolish the financial system and then try to go forward with central bank digital currencies. The only problem is the manufacturing from the West, not all of the West, but here in the US, there is no manufacturing. So how do we even function without being able to import? Because will China, will Russia, will Brazil, will India, will any of the BRICS nations, will they ship goods and accept the new central bank digital currency? I don't think so. I think the only way they could do that is if there was an actual, real and verifiable audit of gold reserves in Western central banks. And I don't think you'll see that happening anytime soon, because I think the gold is long gone.
I mean, this is, if you start putting the pieces of the jigsaw together, and it's no coincidence. What you're saying is has to ring true with anyone with any common sense. And now the other piece of the jigsaw that comes into place all of a sudden, and I'm sure you saw the Russian finance ministry announcing its plan to launch its own international standards that's going to compete with the LBMA. And I mean, this is not just about purity and provenance of gold bars. This is about setting a benchmark price for a fair benchmark price in the currencies of the people that they are dealing with that is undiluted by flywheeled derivative inputs. So suddenly you've got this, not just the BRICS world, probably Saudi, you've got other inputs here. And this is going to suck liquidity out of the paper game and at a much faster rate than I think anyone ever planned. Thoughts, please, Bill.
I agree with that, Andrew. I just go back to Vladimir Putin's original speech early in the day or the day before the operation began. And I've said this probably a dozen times or more. It's very important to read his speech and understand what he was saying. And if you read his speech and you read it with you know, a blank or open mind, all the man is saying is they want free and fair settlement. They want to trade. They're more than willing to ship their products overseas, but they want something in return. And that's what this is. This is East versus West, and the East is tired of being taken advantage of by sending their goods or dollars or euros or yen or what have you, currencies that do not have any real value behind them. Basically, the Western currencies, if you want to call them trust us currencies, that's what it is. It's all about trust and all about confidence. And what's happened is the East no longer has confidence in the Western financial system or the Western currencies. And you mentioned Saudi. I think it's that very well could be the spark that does it all. Once Saudi Arabia makes a formal announcement that they're going to take, you know, a whole list of currencies for oil. That could be what sets this whole thing off.
Makes sense. And we're already seeing those footprints, Bill, as you say. You know, I mean, you know, what is a friendly country to Russia right now? Where can you refine a Russian bar? Saudi is still a very close ally and really, when you think about it, they are very much assisting the Indian trade here, where we see a huge, huge amount of, we always had smuggling at around 30. Even the World Gold Council figures 30 tons a month. I think it's actually tripled because, again, Russia very cleverly has done exactly what you've said, which is they have created for a friendly country. If you pay them in gold, they will give you what they feel is a fair price. And a fair price, when they look at the market.
But Russia will actually give a discount for goods if they're paid in gold.
And that's increased smuggling in Indian smuggling from 60 to 90 tons a month. And we're seeing this. And as you say, this is part of what you've just been talking about. It is Russia creating this discount. But on the other hand, they also know that gold priced anything under $2,000 or thereabouts is a massive discount. So really, you know, they're doing two things here. They're assisting in the draining of physical supply into Russia, which, of course, anything excess goes to China, and they pay in rubles, and it's a win-win. And this is all going on under the noses of these fools who continue to take short positions on the COMEX in this blinkered, siloed world. Amazes me, Bill. It just blows my mind.
Actually, I think it is probably key to watch the ruble. I would say if you saw the ruble get down to the range or up to the range of 52.50 or in the high 40s, I think what that's going to do, it would actually launch. Because remember, dollar or gold is valued. We're talking about gold in dollars right now. But once you see the ruble under 50 or over 50, because it's inverse, once you see a number in the 40s, then you're going to see a huge bid under the price of gold. And I think that will also concurrently affect Western FX rates, if you will. It'll basically, what I'm getting at is that will take this whole situation. And I think Putin can do it by just biding his time, letting the West get weaker and the East get stronger and more cohesive.
Well, as you say, that's the other side of the Great Reset. And I thank you for sharing your thoughts on that, because it's illuminating to look at, to stretch the mind here and look at, you know, the bigger picture. But thank you for that, because that's really interesting.
My pleasure, Andrew.
Before we wind up, Bill, I suppose you must be quite pleased also with the fact that, you know, for years and years, how many years is it that we've been talking about, you know, metals market manipulations, and you've got the likes of, you know, industry apologists out there arguing it could not possibly happen on an industrial scale. And then we see the DOJ charging JP Morgan with, on an industrial scale, being a criminal enterprise. And finally, we've got a few, I mean, let's hope it doesn't end up in a slap on the wrist, but we've got at least the spoofing element being, even though the RICO charges really didn't follow through, which they should have, but at least we've got the spoofing element, i.e. the game put out on the table. And once the game, you know, the shell game is on the table, it becomes a little bit hot to handle. So you must be fairly pleased in seeing this many years of efforts that we've all put into saying this has been happening, and industry apologists saying we're all conspiracy nuts. And they seem to have gone away, Bill. Have you seen any of them pop up? I haven't.
How many felonies does JP Morgan have to plead guilty to before they get shut out of the gold market? I mean, I think, what is it, five now, and this is the sixth one? So this is, We're so far down the line now. I mean, I remember after the first and second one, I was jumping up and down saying, you know, this is proof we were right all along. But now we're on number six and you don't see anything going up the chain of command, and it should go all the way to Jamie Dimon. I mean, how is he still chairman of that company? How is he, how does he retain his position and get paid more and more every single year while his bank is pleading guilty to felony charges? I mean, it's an illustration of a banana. It's an illustration of the breakdown of the rule of law.
Yeah, as you say, it reaches all the way up the chain because, you know, for example, Nowak was sitting on the fix. And anyone sitting on the fix is basically sitting at board level position, which would, of course, be overviewed by the likes of the top CEOs, that would have been overviewed by Dimon. And they must have been aware of what's going on. So you're right. It should have gone all the way up the line. Sadly, it hasn't. And it probably would never will, because probably on the other side of things, they are an agent. They have been an agent for, and even it came out in court that they were acting on behalf of central banks. So I guess really we've probably got as much as we'll get, but at least we know that it's out there. At least it's out there. And no longer can they pull the wool over people's eyes and say, no, no, this is impossible. It's not possible. It's been proved. But as you say, it's a bit, it's fallen short of what we should have.
Well obviously, I mean, go back to 2013, where the CFTC said that they found nothing actionable. They didn't say they didn't find anything illegal. They said they found nothing actionable. And my take on that was, when they said nothing actionable, what you just mentioned about JP Morgan years ago, Goldman Sachs and others were acting as conduits, if you will, for central banks. And I think it's pretty obvious that that's what has happened, is happening. And, you know, that's why you're only seeing slaps on the wrist and companies not being shut down and obliterated like Arthur Andersen was.
Yeah, right. You know what, Bill? I mean, I love these kind of conversations. It's nice to have you here. I know that we've been struggling with bandwidth today. I know that you're on satellite and that we have a bit of a delay here. So hopefully it doesn't look like I'm talking over you sometimes. But it's been very, very, very welcome to have you. Once one of these days we come to a point where you've got better bandwidth, we can expand a bit more. But thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your really insightful thoughts. Time for people to listen. As you say, so much information in this. I think people should listen to you very closely.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been my pleasure.
And there you have it. Thank you so much, Andrew McGuire and Bill Holter, for another fascinating discussion. And remember, to learn more about Bill's work, just visit jsmindset.com, and we'll include a link down below there in the description. Remember one thing: buy physical and understand the difference between what Andy affectionately calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. And there you have it. That's all we have for you today on another episode of Live from the Vault. Now, please help spread the word about this important channel by liking, by sharing, and by subscribing to this channel. And click on that bell if you'd like to be notified as each episode goes live. And with that, we'll see you next time right here on Live from the Vault. See you then.